Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to episode 123 of the NBA Panel. I'm your host, John Witherspoon. With the panel members, we'll keep you updated with all things NBA. Today, we are joined by NBA champion, nine-time NBA All-Star, nine-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA legend, Gary Payton. What's going on, Gary?
I'm doing good, buddy.
It's good to talk to you again. We actually met a couple of times at the Big Three. I was at the conference call when it was in Philly last week. So it's good to talk to you again, though.
Good to talk to you, too.
So you've been busy lately. You have a big week coming up next week. Can you tell us about it?
Well, yeah. Next week is going to be great. You know, we got a launch that's going to come on with our cannabis company that's coming out, Cannabis Sports. It's going to be really nice, man. We got a lot of things that's going on with our vape pens, a lot of other things that we're going to go. We got our lunch pails coming out. You know, it's everything that we're going to be going through. You know, it's the cartridges. We've got all kind of, flavors. And it's going to be really, really big, really big for us to launch this. There's nothing that's been out like this ever. I don't think that we're going to start a trend. And I think people are going to go with this trend.
So what was the main influence for getting into this venture?
Well, basically, my mom is real sick. And okay. we're doing a lot of medical cannabis, but right. The vape pen is something that you know that we can go with and that a lot of people are using. We want to start it off right there, big, to do that first. But we have a lot of orders. We have a lot of things that's been bombast. That's where we're trying to work on and we're trying to do. My mom has a big thing with arthritis, with diabetes and stuff like that and arthritis. So we're going to have a lot of stuff that's going to be able to motivate her and motivate people to get healthier, instead of stopping doing all these medicines and all this type of stuff. Man, we're going to try to get some natural stuff into them and make them feel better.
Yeah, medical marijuana is becoming worldwide used because it's not addictive like pain pills. Like a lot of people get addicted to pain pills, and that's a big problem for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So in your opinion, what will set your company apart from the others?
Well, you have to see it. I think our cartridges is very unique. Okay. I think we have a lot of things that people don't really understand that what we got. Right. We have never, nobody's in my business have launched things like this before, And okay. When we come out, it's just going to be different. The ratio is just going to be different. The CBD, the THC, we're going to have a lot of things that's going to be a lot different, And I think that when we launch it, and they see what kind of product we have and what it is. The batteries are going to be great. The base is based on my CDs and things like that. You have never seen a vape that had my CDs of every team that I played for, okay. And that it looks like a basketball jersey. Who got that? You ain't never seen that. And then it fits right in your hand and stuff like that. So we got a lot of things coming out. We're going to start off with 6 pen batteries first.
Okay.
And then we're going to come with some new stuff for you, and we have some surprises for you in the next batch. So, but when people see this,
right,
this product is going to be really, really good. Even like on the tips, we got 20 on the tips. Okay. So you won't see that, and it's going to light up at the bottom. So we got a lot of stuff that's going on.
Looking forward to that. Can you tell us about the partners you partner with for your venture? Who's doing it with you?
We got Scott, who is my partner. We got Dana, Dr. Dana, who is our partner. We're the three that is really the main key to all of this. I might be the name, but them two are my back and bone. Because okay. They're the one has been into this business for so long, and they know how to get everything going. They know all about the ins and outs of this kind of business.
Okay.
So they gotta push me along. You know what I'm saying? I'm new to this. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do this. I was a basketball player. They were the people who understands CBD and all this and batteries and like that. I don't. So that's what we're doing. But as my name can push it out there, we can get it out there and get a great product.
Right.
When you do great products like this, man, you got to always know that you're going to have more products and more products and keep the product to be great. We can't fall off. And I think they are the ones who knows how to keep that product like that and keep it producing in a great way.
Well, I know your competitive spirit is going to push this product to the max. Very looking forward to it.
So it's going to be great. I'm just telling you, wait till you come to the launch party and see it. What's going to happen is we're going to probably have one of the largest parties ever in the history of this, and people going to try to imitate our party, and then they're going to try to do it all the time. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And then we're going to have a great product there for you, you know? So just like we're doing now, we're going to give out lunch pails.
Okay.
With all the products in it to the VIP people, and when they walk away with this type of stuff, you know, we might, you know, they're going to be blown with what they're going to see when they come on the 27th.
Exactly. It is so good to see you back on the sidelines, even though it's not playing. Can you speak on your experience in the Big Three and coaching the three-headed monsters?
Well, you know, that's just something, man, that is new to me. You know what I'm saying? And then you got guys who are been basketball players and they have retired and now they're trying to come back.
Right.
You know, and do the thing. There's a lot of guys with different egos, different avenues of how they want to come back. And it's just that you got to deal with it. You know, it's a fun thing. Everybody played 3-on-3 basketball when they're growing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we're really trying to just basically, you know, get a league that is going to keep competitive and keep guys out there that's going to keep people to watch it.
Exactly. And they're doing a great job. Great job. You spent 13 years with the Seattle Supersonics. Can you tell me how it was playing alongside Sean Kemp? I remember growing up, like every time down the floor, you two have highlights every time down the floor. Here you come breaking down a defense. You lob it up. Here comes Sean out of nowhere, just keeping the crowd hype. How was it playing alongside him?
You know, that it was great because it was like we're still brothers now.
Right.
It was a brothership. But, you know, now during our time, man, we were practicing a lot. You know, it was more of a practice thing for us. You know, when people practice and they always around each other and they always explore, it's a better situation than what it is now in the NBA with these kids. The kids don't really have that kind of thing together. You know what I'm saying? Because of simple fact, I think the last two that had that was CP and Blake Griffin.
Okay.
And
I can agree with that.
And that was when the arrows started change and they were just having a little giddy up with it. But I think me and Sean would never have nothing else good together like that again.
Yeah, that was crazy watching you two play. It was crazy. Your nickname, The Glove, I mean, your accent spoke it into existence. What was it like when you won the Defensive Player of the Year in 95-96 season?
Say it again.
How did you feel when you won a Defensive Player of the Year award in 95-96?
You know what? I really didn't know how significant it would be until now. You know, because, you know, when you win something like that, you really think about who you win it, and anybody can win it.
Right.
But as you think about it, a point guard winning the Defensive Player of the Year, that's insane. You know what I'm saying? That means I changed the game from up top. And you know who don't want it from now, ever since then. Them a big man. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you know, you think about it and you say, if a point guard can change the game, and that was insane. You know what I'm saying? And that year, I led the league in steals. I changed a lot of games. I changed a lot of defenses. I had a lot of big men and forwards bringing the ball up because the guards were scared.
Right.
So it was doing during the time, I didn't really think of it that way. But as you think of it now and everybody keep mentioning it,
yeah,
that was insane. That was just insane for me to do that.
It definitely was, because it hasn't been reduplicated yet. How was it playing against Michael Jordan? Because we all know Michael just, at a flip of a switch, he just, if anyone challenges him, he just goes off or went off. But you didn't back down for anybody, and you brought it to him. How was your matchups with him?
It was fun, because the simple fact is, everybody was so scared of him, and I wasn't. So I would change his game by making him do different stuff. You know what I'm saying? He was so comfortable with letting people were letting him just do what he wanted to, because they were so scared, and they thought that fouling him wouldn't be great.
Right.
But I think the referees gave me the liberty to guard him, because they knew I was a defensive player and he was an offensive player. So that was the way it was. You know, they just knew that I was a defensive player, and they said, okay, a great defensive player, the best defensive player, go against the best offensive player.
Okay.
And they let us battle it out. And that's why I loved it so much, to play against him.
One great player in that era was Larry Bird. How were your matchups? Like, I know you talk trash. Did he talk trash to you too?
Yeah, he talks big shit. Yeah, he did. You know, I'm really sad about I didn't get to play against him a lot.
Yeah.
I played only against him for 2 years. You remember, he was hurt a lot.
Right.
And then after Magic retired, he felt like his competition was gone because of Magic. You know that story between them too.
Right.
So when Magic retired, he just didn't have it no more. He didn't have no love for the game anymore. So he said the person who made him that person, he didn't like it no more, so he retired. Okay. So I only got to play against him for 2 years. And the 2 years I played against him, he was kind of hurt, but he still was hella good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he had talked shit. He always would tell you that he got a jump shot for you in your mouth over here for Christmas. he'll tell you where he's going to shoot the ball at it on you, and he'll do it, and it'll be all net. He was one of the dudes that I just thought was just incredible and unbelievable.
Right.
And people, like, these mothers today, they couldn't fuck with him. They couldn't fuck with Larry Bird. Larry Bird was just one of them players, man, that he just had a lot of dog to him. And for him to be playing basketball the way he played, coming up in the country like he did,
yeah,
they didn't know what was up with him.
It's not the same sample size, but you played for both Casey Jones and George Karl. Can you speak on the difference between those two coaches?
Well, Casey Jones, I really like Casey Jones. Casey Jones didn't let me do anything.
Okay.
So, The two years that I was fucked up was with Casey Jones. He was the one who didn't let me play basketball the way I wanted to play basketball. So
okay.
I really don't have anything to say about him.
Right.
But I think George Karl is the one who gave me my career.
Right.
You know, he brought things back to me. And he gave me things that I needed. I needed confidence and stuff like that. He brought a coach in my life that's like a father figure, Tim Gergerich. When he brought him in, and they changed my basketball game. And as soon as he came in, I became an all-star. And then, you know, I won the all-star. I went to all-star 9-10 straight times and in a row.
Right.
So I think that George Karl was my savior. And I think Casey Jones was my failure. And I needed a change, and I got a change.
Yeah, because when he took over, your team just took off. Like, it was, like I said, highlights all down the floor. You guys, you guys were something to watch, man. You were. And like I said, you spent 13 years there. You think Seattle deserves another team?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, we deserve another team, man. I mean, should have never got taken from day one. Bad ownership.
Right.
Bad management, and they know it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't have a basketball team and run it like a coffee company. You can't do it. You got to run it like a basketball team. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You didn't make all your money in basketball. You made all your money in coffee. So why should you bring coffee mentality to a basketball mentality?
Right.
And that's where he blew it. And then he tried to get involved with a lot of stuff. It's a difference than a Mark Cuban and a Ballmer.
Right.
They are billionaires, but they didn't become billionaires through a basketball team. They became billionaires through their companies of the internet and then Microsoft. You know what I'm saying? Right. So why? And then they don't try to bring that type of business to a basketball. So they have somebody who knows a basketball knowledge to run it,
right,
and listen to the players. And we didn't have that. And it hurt Seattle. And it's been hurting Seattle since 2007.
How many points do you think you would average in this era where they like call every foul? Like you can't do anything.
35 to 40.
35 to 40, easy.
I'd be just like James Harden, man. I'd catch a little nigga down low and I'd kill their ass. Man. But it is what it is, man. Everybody got an era. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So they don't make them accountable on the other end of the floor. The three pointer is the weapon now.
Right.
In our day, it was the big man. You know what I'm saying? So nowadays it's just a little different, man. And it'll be more freer. We couldn't put our hands on nobody, so I would have to adjust in defensive wise.
Right.
But being strong and talking crazy and stuff like that, it would have been. I think the referees would let me adjust to it.
Hey, I believe you would drop 35-40 nowadays. You were a monster on the court, bro.
Appreciate you.
Right now, the NBA has like transitioned to duos. It was like the super teams, but now this past offseason, there's a lot of duos now, like LeBron and Davis, Kawhi, PG-13, Kyrie is now with KD when KD comes back. Do you see any of these new duos that could probably get with you and Sean that reminds you of Sean besides, you said, CP3 and Blake?
Well, it reminds of us, but they did it a different way. Me and Sean didn't grew up together talking about we don't play with each other when we get in the pros.
Right.
It's a little different. During my day, man, we would have to get drafted and people would have to draft and nobody was trading nobody to another team.
Right.
We didn't have CEOs and general managers doing that. You know what I mean? Because that wasn't necessary.
Right.
It's just like an example when I played against Michael Jordan in 96 and I was becoming a free agent.
Yeah.
They kicked our ass in the championship. It was no fucking way that I was gonna go team up with Michael Jordan. What? You know what I'm saying? I just went out of the championship and lost to you. Now I want to try to get back and beat your ass again. You know, trying to beat your ass.
Right.
So it wasn't like that, man. So nowadays they're teaming up because they have the authority and they have the power to do that.
Right.
With us, it would have never happened like that.
Yeah, because nowadays you have everything mapped out and planned. Like this last free agency, like Kawhi went undercover. He just came out of nowhere. He went and recruited PG-13 behind everybody back without nobody knowing. And the news broke.
Right.
And they together in with their own Clippers. It's crazy. Nobody expected that. Nobody.
Well, they both from L.A. too, though.
Right.
You know, they had
True.
A team like that. You know, everybody was teaming up, and they didn't expect that. And that kid, but I compliment that kid because he's smart.
Right.
Because he don't talk his business, man, like these other young kids do, man.
Very true.
See, he go about it in a different way. He just shuts his mouth and he don't tell nobody. He go on the trips like it's normal, let people just run him off, and then his camp tell the teams, if we hear about you talking about anything, he ain't gonna go here. You
right.
see what I'm saying? You don't ever see Kawhi saying anything. He never come in the paper and do that, and look what he did to him. He recruited a dude
right.
that he wanted to play with, and they went out and did it. Well, I give compliments to Jerry West, too. Jerry West know what he's doing, man.
Yeah.
He won super teams, and he knew the Clippers was pretty good from last year. Now he got two more added to his addition, so he good.
Definitely. Can you speak on your Hall of Fame induction in 2013?
That was something that I really didn't expect. You know what I'm saying? When they said I was going to be a Hall of Famer, I never thought about it.
Right.
I think you never grow up thinking that you're going to be a Hall of Famer. You just play basketball. You know what I'm saying? But in 2013, it was a great honor for them to even do it. And then plus being a first ballot one.
Yeah.
When you make it on your first ballot. So, you know what I'm saying? But it's a great honor. When they tell you you're one of the greatest basketball players to ever play, why trip off of it again? You know, you're there now. You know what I'm saying? So you take it and you ride with it and you just blessed. You know what I'm saying? And I was blessed. So, you know, and the only thing I love about it is that my father got a chance to see it before he passed. Wow. So it was great for me to do that.
What went into your trash talking when you stepped on the court? Did you know, like, whoever your competition was, you had to get in ahead first?
Well, no, I always made it a point that any young motherfucker that came out, I was going to kill him. You know what I'm saying? Any rookie would get it. You know what I'm saying? So right. I knew rookies couldn't handle it anyway because they're coming fresh out of college and they didn't know it. And Michael Jordan did it to me when I was a rookie. Right. So I just made sure that I went at everybody. I just went at everybody that I knew. And plus some people can't talk trash and play.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a person do that yet. And I don't think nobody gonna be able to do that. So when you try to out talk me, especially I'm good at it, yeah. I got the ball a lot.
Yeah.
And I got the freedom to do whatever I wanna do. It's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult to guard somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
And then I became really good at it. So, you know, so it was like, then I had the referees on my side.
Right.
I had everything on my side at the time. And you young and you trying to do that, it just ain't going to work.
Is there anybody off the top of your mind that you can think of you had to figure out how to play against?
John Stockton was the only guy that I had to figure out. And once I figured him out, basketball was too easy for me then.
Okay.
It took me six years to figure him out.
Right.
When we beat him in the Western Conference, when I beat him in the Western Conference Final in '96.
Yeah.
So after that, it was real easy to start playing against him. For the first 5 years, it was just fucking a nightmare trying to figure him out. but then I figured him out, and then when I figured him out, he gave me respect, and then you know I gave him ultimate respect ever since then. So you know. He's a great friend of mine now. And
right.
Everybody know I asked him to induct me into the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. So it was a pleasure playing against him.
From being a player to a coach, what would you say was your biggest transition? Because I know you have a lot of knowledge you can give your players, even though they're former players, but you have a lot of knowledge you can give to them.
Well, you give knowledge, but you got to have players that want to take the knowledge.
Right.
Well, you have players that's knuckleheads and think that they know everything and they've been there. But I always tell a player, man, if you ain't at the highest level as your coach, then you should respect your coach. You know what I'm saying? Because right. He done went through it better than you. He done went through it more than you. If you got a mediocre basketball player and then you got a Hall of Fame coach, you shouldn't say shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you watch him play and you idolize him, and especially if he's older than you. So going from a player to a damn coach is hella hard.
Okay.
You got hella knuckleheads, man. You got knuckleheads, and the shit is ridiculous, man. But, you know, you got to deal with it, man. The era has changed. You know, these dudes, these kids are something else nowadays, man. They full of themselves, man. And plus, you fucking around giving these motherfuckers $200 million in 4 years. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a lot of motherfucking bread, man. That's crazy. So these dudes don't have no time to. They don't have to respect you. So you know what I'm saying. So it's a crazy situation like that. So that's what I'm saying. You don't have to get no respect from somebody if you're making that type of money.
Right.
So. You know, so it's a problem, man. So, you know, I try to get players that's going to listen.
Right.
And players that respect you. You know what I'm saying? And then just try to give them the knowledge. You know, like today, I went and talked to the USC basketball team.
Right.
The good thing about these kids that's in college now, and if you can get a basketball team to sit there and everybody, and you know that these kids' attention span is like fucking a two.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody on that floor today was listening at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's
everybody
up.
Was looking me in my eyes.
Right.
So when you get something like that, you okay.
That's what's up. Gary, thank you so much for your time, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, man. It was a pleasure.
Definitely respect out at a later date trying to talk to you again. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you too. All right.
Yes, that was episode 123 of the NBA panel. We were just joined by the legendary Gary Payton. Whew, the interview was crazy. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.